This is Coffee at KYUK, conversation between friends and neighbors. Come in and have a cup.
Joining us for coffee this morning is Charity Ropati, a student with the Alaska Native Science and Engineering Program. KYUK's Francisco Martinez-Cuello spoke with her about that experience.
I joined the Alaska Native Science and Engineering Program in, I think it was 2012 now. I was 11. I didn't want to be in a STEM program, I guess, when I was younger, because I just wasn't interested in doing science and math. And going to school in Anchorage as a Native kid, it's like when you tell your teachers you want to be a scientist, it's not something that they always support. But my mom put me and my siblings in ANSTEP, which is a really good program. And like most Native moms, she forced us into it. And then we all found out that we were pretty good at what we were doing in that program. And so I remember meeting a permafrost engineer when I was 11 who was talking about permafrost degradation that was happening in our communities. Because of that, I'm now here as an undergrad, about to graduate, with my civil engineer degree, which concentrates in water resources. I'm at a place like Columbia, New York, studying something I'm really passionate about. And also now I'm taking classes that like really think about water resources and really think about how we protect vulnerable communities from rising sea level and stormwater and the runoff that results from that. And so that's kind of what I want to do in the future. Yeah, I'm really incredibly thankful for that STEM community, because it was like through that STEM program, I was able to meet other Native kids who were like me, but also meet people who were really established in their fields. And I was like, well, I can be there now, because I was able to see that at a young age.
An Ivy League school like Columbia, I mean, did you ever think that that could happen? I mean, I'm interested to hear your experience when that happened.
Yeah, I didn't even think I could go to a school like this until the end of my junior year, and I never thought it would be a possibility, but it's something I've always worked towards. My dream wasn't to get into an Ivy League. I really wanted to go to an institution where engineering was good, but where engineering also considered the humanity aspect of science. Almost all of my classmates here in the civil engineering department, we do the science we do here, we study engineering here, because we want to bring back infrastructure in our communities. We want to bring back water resources into our communities. And I think that's really phenomenal. And then the department here, 50% are women and 50% are men. And it's not like that all across the U.S. It's not even like that back at home, where you see engineering departments very male-dominated. So I didn't want to surround myself with that. So I only applied to two schools, the University of Alaska Anchorage and Columbia, which was my dream school. Do you remember that earthquake that hit? I think it was like 2019 now. That was when I found out I got into the school for early decision. It's been a weird experience, because it's like I always tell my mom, if I knew what I knew now, I think I would have went to school back at home, just because there's more support there. You know, there's so much erasure here in New York. And even at a place like Columbia, they would bring in living Alaska Native people as exhibitions for students to learn from. So it's still a predominantly white institution, but I know that this institution is lucky to have me, and I want more Native kids here, but I especially want more Alaska Native kids from our region here, especially now that there's more support here at the university. But yeah, there's no place like home. I'm excited to return soon.
I want to know about your feelings about identity and how you feel connected and how you stay connected to your roots.
You think people are really cool. I'm really thankful to have grown up around that. We have one of the strongest languages. My mom always tells me that home will always be there. So I grew up around like two cultures, Yupik and being Samoan. And I'm thankful to have been raised in Anchorage, because it's so diverse there. I didn't feel different. That identity can be almost threatened when you pursue higher education. And when you go through K-12, there's not a lot of support there. When our Native kids say they want to do something, more times than not, educators, administrators don't support that, or they're the first ones to tell those kids that, you know, they're not able to do something like that. And so that's something me and my siblings faced. We're all, like, highly motivated. We all did good in school because of our mom. But it's, like, not all Native kids have that support back at home. It's not an experience that I feel alone. It's something that so many Native kids throughout the city of Alaska feel. And so I was just concerned with, like, those spaces safe and comfortable for our kids, because that's rooted in, like, making our education more equitable. And then all of that is also rooted in climate justice, too, because when you think about the boarding school era and what happened in our communities, even back in Kong, where our children were literally taken away, that threatens our family structure, and it threatens how we've always learned. I've always been proud to be Yupik, and I've always been surrounded by really strong and powerful Yupik women. But it's like in school, it wasn't like that, you know? So it's like even at a place like Columbia, now that I'm at this age, I've always known that my voice has power. And even as a young kid, I've always known that. And it's because of the women around me who always told me that. And it was Yupik women who told me that. My mom, my aunts, my grandmother. Yeah, I'm thankful to have, you know, been raised in Anchorage and to go back home to the village in the summers to learn how to subsist. But, you know, how do we think about equity? Because that's deeply related to how identity manifests for so many of our kids.
How many brothers and sisters, how many siblings do you have?
Yeah, so I have an older sister, Destiny. She studies biology at UAA. I have a younger sister, Pua. She's now at UAA as well, studying English and electrical engineering. And then my younger brother is a freshman in high school. So he's definitely a lot older than he was when I was younger. So I have two sisters and one younger brother, and then my mom and dad. Poverty is like a very real thing, and it's something my family faced. Obviously, it's not like that anymore. But for so many families throughout the state of Alaska, but especially for Native families, poverty is a really real thing. And I think that contributed to my motivation to go to school. And then I also just, I've always wanted to be an engineer and like a scientist because of those experiences. But my mom got her master's degree in federal Indian law, and she does stuff in public health, and she's also like an artist. And then my dad's an elementary school teacher back in Anchorage.
It sounds like you have an incredible family, and thank you for sharing. Thank you. Talk to me about some of your accomplishments. I mean, I can't even keep up with it.
I recently was awarded the WWF Conservation Leadership Award.
Yes.
And so WWF is the World Wildlife Foundation, and they pretty much recognize a young conservationist for the work that they do to protect the environment. And so my work is mainly in education equity. And kind of what I talked about before is, like, all of that was shaped by my experiences in school. I noticed that how we were treated was very much different than our white classmates. And there's just, like, this huge graduation crisis. That's not only happening in Anchorage, but it's happening statewide, where you see Alaska Native students have some of the lowest retention rates. We have the highest rates of dropping out of high school, and it shouldn't be like that. And so I did research in high school that showed that because Native students didn't feel seen in what was being taught to them, it contributed to that crisis. And so I pretty much created a curriculum in the Alaska Native Studies requirement back at my high school, and it's still being taught. And then me and a pretty cool group of Native kids, we were talking about, like, what else can we do to make education more equitable for Native kids? And so there's the Native Advisory Council that advises the ASD on what they could do. We were able to pass a policy that allowed students of color to wear the regalia when they crossed the stage. And it was the first type of policy that was passed in the state of Alaska at a K-12 level. And because of my work with education equity is why I got that award. WWF is a really great organization, and the staff there have already been very supportive, and I'm going to COP28 in Dubai, which I'm nervous for because I've, you know, I just got my passport, so I'm very new to internationally traveling. I don't know. I think awards like these are important because more of our Native kids deserve to be recognized. I also do work with, like, STEM equity. I think more Native people should be in STEM, but again, there's just, like, these huge amount of barriers when pursuing higher education. I'm one of the only Native kids in the civil engineering department here at Columbia. I don't think it should be like that. I think back at home, there's a whole bunch of Native kids doing all types of engineering all across the UA system. And I just believe that conservation spaces and STEM spaces should reflect those that are directly protecting our lands and our coasts and our waters. And those are Native people. We're the ones doing that. We're able to hunt sustainably. We take only what we need and we share it with the community. To white conservationists, it's like a very new idea to them. Those are a little bit about my accomplishments, but like what matters is that younger Native kids, if they say they want to do something, it could be anything, whether it is pursuing school to become an engineer or a scientist, or for my younger brother, becoming like a professional snowboarder. We should really think about how our communities and the structures within those communities are supporting those dreams. This at Columbia, because, like, to be honest, the school is traumatizing. I've never been to a place like this, but I feel like I've acclimated to the environment here now.
Your work focuses on water resources. What does water mean to you?
In the state of Alaska, there are over 30 underserved communities, meaning these communities still don't have access to running clean water. And so when I think about water, it's like 2023. That shouldn't be the reality, but it is for so many of our communities in our region. And living on the coast, our access to water means our access to our sea mammals, our access to continue to practice our cultures, our access to our rivers that provide the fish we need to survive, and being able to hunt those things and teach our children, you know, how to clean it, how to save the skins, how to cut the fish, hang it in the smokehouse and everything. But because of climate change, I mean, you probably know about the salmon crisis that's happening in the lower Yukon Kuskokwim River. It's scary and it's terrifying. Because if we don't have that salmon, we need to survive in the summer. How else are our kids going to learn how to cut fish? But also, how else are our communities going to survive the winter? I think about how do we ensure that our communities have access to clean and running water, to sanitation tanks, to water infrastructure that allows our people to have that basic human right. Because it feels almost like a third world country when our communities lie within the United States. And, you know, that's our land, yet we still don't have access to water.
You know, I apologize if I'm ignorant, but have you been to a fish camp and, you know, when you come back during those summers? And
I try to go every summer, but COVID really impacted that.
Right.
And I remember when our uncles would catch hundreds of fish from the water, and our job as kids was just to clean it. It was hard, really strenuous work, but I'm really thankful for those moments. I just remember my grandmother just, like, making salmon soup out of, you know, like, those parts that, like, if white fishermen were to fish, they're like, those are the parts we don't eat, like the salmon eggs and, like, the skin parts. That's the stuff we use to make the soup, and that's where I learned how to cut a fish there, and picking berries and living life on the land. And I haven't been able to go back since COVID. One, because of COVID, but two, I'm all the way in school, so I'm excited to return once I'm done.
That's KYUK's Francisco Martinez-Cuello speaking with Charity Ropati, a student in the Alaska Native Science and Engineering Program.
This is Coffee at KYUK.
That's Coffee, weekday mornings at 8:40. Catch up on old episodes by visiting kyuk.org or find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcast.